Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Thank you so much, people, for hanging on during this second hour. As you well know, if you listened, we had Mike Meharry from the 10th Amendment Center on the first hour, and he did a wonderful job. We'll have to have him back on in the future, that's for sure. Right now, we're transitioning in. We're having two of my favorite guests. Don't we have, I call him General, his nickname, Dr. Michael Hill. He is the director of the League of the South, as you well know. I'm a member of the League of the South, and we also have, I think, the chief. I can never remember exactly what his position is. I call him the chief operating officer of the League of the South, Ike Baker. Welcome on tonight, gentlemen. Welcome on, Dr. Mike. We'll go to you first.
Very good to be with you, Eddie. And Ike Baker's official title is League of the South Chief of Operations.
Thank you, sir.
I'm very, very proud to have you. Good to be on with you fellas this afternoon. How's the world treating y'all?
Pretty good, sir.
It couldn't be better for me. It's going great for me. I haven't stopped. I haven't done anything stupid. I don't go in. I don't lick the floor or the toilets, you know, and I don't lick the handrails, but I just go.
You know, so you change.
I wash my.
Well, you know. Stay away from those.
You know, I used to love to lick those toilets and everything, man. It keeps me strong, keeps my immune system up, you know.
Keeps that immune system strong, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Actually, Jim, you know, it's springtime in the Appalachians. I couldn't have asked for a better day up here. Sequestered in this mountain redoubt, well away from any COVID-19 carriers. I just spent the day up here with my machinery and my animals.
Oh yeah, same day here in extreme North Alabama too, up in the hills of the extreme southernmost part of the Cumberland Plateau.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I'm over here in the Black Belt, in the Black Delta. You know, we call it the Black Belt for a good reason. We live here in the Mississippi River Delta in Memphrica, and it's well named for that reason. You know, we have about 99 blacks to one white, and about 100 Mexicans per black. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty much in the minority. But if you want to know the truth. I almost hate to say this. I'm almost become ashamed of being part of the white race because we have so many cucks out there. We have so many people that are just downright stupid. These snowflake millennials out there that I'm arguing with every day. But I'll shut the hell up because I know people get sick and tired of hearing me talking.
I'm glad you brought that up because I got two to name today. I just decided I was going to name a couple that I am absolutely disgusted with. And I hope I don't see. Any time soon, and that's Jeff Scoop, the former head of the National Socialist Movement, and Matt Heimbach, the former head of the Traditional Workers Party. Both of those fellas have just turned coat and become part of the enemy's propaganda machine.
Yes, sir.
And that's a damn shame.
Yes, sir. That's the truth. You know, I had the occasion to get to know Matthew somewhat. We spoke about many things as we worked together in the Nationalist Front. And I've known for a long time that he's a classist rather than anything else. For us, it's about folk first and foremost. For Matthew, it's about class. He promotes class warfare. We saw his true colors flown when he was a member of the NSM for that very brief period in Detroit. He actually called out the assembled Antifa in opposition and referred to them as my comrades.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's shameful.
He was dismissed from the NSM before the end of that week. And then their leader, well, there is that hard nucleus, that hard core of the right, and I have the privilege of being on the radio right now with two of them.
So do I.
Privilege is mine. Go ahead, guys. You know, let me ask a quick question. I'm going to pretty much turn this interview over to you guys. I'll ask a few questions. Now, I've been told that Mike Heimbach was I don't know any other way to say it. He was also stupid. I heard that he answered every question that the FBI ever asked him. You know, my code is I never speak to a cop. I don't care federal, local, I don't care who they are. I just don't talk to them. They have nothing to say to them. Most of them, 90% of them are stupid, and they're just out to get you in trouble, put you in jail. But is that true that he, did he start cooperating with the FBI? Do you think maybe he's one of them?
Actually, I can't answer that factually.
No, I can't either.
I can tell you what I think has happened. Matthew's a fairly young man. I think he's still only 27 or 28 years old. He's got years and years ahead of him that along the path that the three of us have already walked. I won't flatter myself to say we're strictly age peers, but we're not young men on this radio show right now. I think they got to him. I think they got to him, and he just wants to live his life without conflict. He wants to take an easier path. We all know this path we're on is not easy, don't we?
It's just hard as hell.
I watched the videotape the other day just because I really, really wanted to see. He completely denounces white nationalism at this point. For him, it's no longer, if it ever was, about the folk, about our people, about our racial survival. Matthew's National Socialism has always been of the Strasserist variety, which...
Yeah, you got that right. He certainly is a Strasserite, I think, if you would call him.
I think it's fair to say that many, many National Socialists will tell you point blank that that is not even National Socialism. Now, that point could be argued, I'm sure. It was probably argued in the 30s in Germany. Mm-hmm. But he and I never saw eye to eye on that. He let me know what it was about for him, and I let him know about for me. It's about my people, my race, my folk. It always has been, always will be, chapter and verse. So... he was a surprise. I knew he'd reemerge somewhere, brothers, but I can't tell you I wasn't surprised by that 6 or 7 minute videotape.
Yeah, I was too. I saw the same thing you saw, Ike. Mm-hmm. And, looking back on it now with a little retrospect, I think you're right. He was a class warfare advocate instead of being an advocate for his folk. Uh-huh. And I'm not surprised to see this. Because I knew, as you said, he would reemerge somewhere, but this just isn't acceptable as far as I'm concerned. He now has branded himself as an enemy, our enemy, as Jeff Scoop has done. And
yes.
As I said, I don't want to see either one of those guys anytime soon.
No, I just as soon not occupy the same space as them either. We have a sacred cause to serve. And they are no longer, I could say they're no longer part of it, but the truth is, were they ever part of it?
Yeah, that is the truth. As somebody who denounces white nationalism like that, you ask the obvious salient question, and that is, were they ever white nationalists to start with?
We can't take away all the years and years of seemingly good work that Jeff did as commander of the NSM, but... He undid it all.
Yeah, he did.
Well, guys, you may have heard the music. We have to go to a quick break. We'll come right back to Dr. Michael Hill and Ike Baker, Chief Operating Officer of the League of the South. Be right back, folks.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Well, people, you're right back. You're with Blood River Radio. It's the year of our Lord, 2020, April the 4th, and we have Dr. Michael Hill on. He is the director of the League of the South, and we have his chief operating officer, Ike Baker, and they have assured me that they have not been licking handrails and licking the floors in the men's urinals to try to build up their resistance. You know, me being the stud, I used to eat dirt when I was a kid. built up my immunity. That's why I have some of my brain damage, Sam said. Well, Dr. Hill, I have a question for you. First of all, this is a two-part question, and then we'll go on to our conference in Harrison that got canceled, doggone it. Why was this Heinbach there anyway in Charlottesville with us if he was not part of the white folk? And secondly, who the hell is this Jeff Scoop guy? I've never heard of him. I guess I've been living under a rock. So go ahead, Dr. Michael Hill.
Let me answer the second one. Question first. Scoop was a long time head of the National Socialist Movement, the NSM, and he was he brought his organization into the short-lived Nationalist Front in 2017 and 2018, marched with us down Market Street, East Market Street in Charlottesville, and did a couple of subsequent operations with us. And, all of a sudden just went off the reservation, I guess you might say, and turned coat to the enemy. And I think part of it, and this is my own opinion, but I think it's probably based on reality, he and Heinbach both, I think, are kowtowing, trying to alleviate some of the bad effects of these pending lawsuits in Charlottesville, and I think they're hoping maybe that the media and maybe the judge and a jury might have mercy on them. Good luck with that. But anyway, they ruined their names, as far as I'm concerned, in the nationalist movement, white or Southern. And Heinbach, at the time, just like Ike said, I've known Heinbach for a number of years. I knew him first when he was a teenager, when he was in college. And, he was a kind of a headstrong young man, but with a lot of potential. And I answered a lot of questions for him and like to think that I maybe helped him a little bit, offered him some speaking positions at events. And he came to Charlottesville as the head of one of the larger groups. I thought the league was the largest, but traditional workers' party, or trad workers' party, as he called it, was a pretty good-sized organization. They brought quite a few people to Charlottesville, and if you look at some of the photographs of us going down East Market Street, Matt is there close to the front with Michael Tubbs and I leading the column down the street. So, you know, we thought he was one thing, and he turned out to be another. That's pretty much all I can say, Eddie.
That is really puzzling to me. Ike, what do you think? Dr. Hill said maybe that that these guys are kind of, I would say, folding, melting in pressure to try to get a better outcome with their lawsuits. Are they going to succeed, Ike?
Oh, well, no. You can't apologize enough for the left. We all know that. Now, here, if I may, I'd like to take that same two-part question, and I want to say I'm agreeing with everything Dr. Hill said, but I'll kind of add my own perspective here. Jeff had been around for years. He had been a constant for years. Jeff has just flat left activism. What his reasons are, you'd have to be a mind reader to know for certain, but I believe that the pressure of the Charlottesville punitive measures, the lawfare that's been exerted against us, I believe it finally got to him, and he thinks he can alleviate the pressure on him personally. I'm not in a man's head. I don't know a man's heart. He's left it all behind, all the values of National Socialism, all the values of white nationalism, anything to do with the struggle. Matthew, on the other hand, I think this is just an evolution for him. He's a young man. I don't think he was ever going to be a long-time white nationalist the way things have turned out. He started that white students' union at Towson University in Maryland not long after he founded Traditionalist Worker Party. They were a wonderful complementary organization to the league, I always felt. They could turn out large quantities of young, aggressive men with the right values. And Matthew, to me, I assessed him as a pretty good leader of his people. And he did a little bit of jail time in Louisville maybe 2 years ago to do with his domestic difficulties. And he was never the same after that. He tried to find a home in the National Socialist Movement to quote-unquote modernize it. Well, calling out to Antifa, my comrades, I don't think anybody in the Nationalist Socialist Movement wants to be modernized in that way. And he was dismissed or resigned, depending on whether you listen to him or the NSM. But the fact is, he's reemerged as a new iteration of what he was. He's a man who probably hasn't actually found what he's going to spend his life being. You know, he'll probably be doing something else from this in 5 years. I can say, I can only speak for myself because I do know my own heart. I've been a white nationalist, and I've loved my people, and I've been willing to do anything to further the interests of my people and to provide for our preservations of folk for probably 40 years. And however long I have left on this earthly plane, I'll spend my life in that cause, and I won't be evolving into a Strasserist or a turncoat for the SPLC or what have you. None of us will. I'm not unique in this on this radio program, or really across the movement. The league is full of solid comrades who aren't going to evolve or devolve into something else. And that's how I see the two-part question. I apologize for grabbing the ball and running with it, but that's my take on it. I think Matthew's going to continue to shift and change, and what he'll be in 10 years probably has nothing to do with what he is right now.
Mike, I agree with you about that. I kind of noticed that about him at first, that he was off on various tangents, even when he was at Towson State and the Trad Workers Party. He would get off on these tangents of things, ideological bent, you know, different bents of ideology and things like that. And there was just a lot of instability there. But, you know, you're right, in the league and among our people, you know, we have consistent Southern/white nationalists, and yeah, that's what we've been for a long time, and that's what we'll be when we go to our graves.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. Ever since I became self-aware, ever since I was a young adolescent, it's been about one thing and one thing only for me: my folk, and my folk, and that's it. And I've known since I was a young boy who the eternal enemy of my folk is, and I'll never ever stop working against them, speaking against them, and working for and speaking for my people. Matthew's a man in flux, and he'll probably continue to be a man in flux until he, if he ever does, find what his purpose in life is. Truly, when you look at it like that, the three of us are fortunate to know our path and to be content and happy and fulfilled on that path. He's searching for something that he has not yet found, and apparently it was never going to be white nationalism, Southern nationalism, or anything to do with those things.
I think at bottom line, he's an opportunist.
Mm-hmm.
A rank opportunist, and I think that's being manifested right now.
He certainly has broken the faith with those men who walked up Market Street 2.5 years
and
ago.
That was a sacred trust, in my opinion, that everybody who marched in that column, 400 to 500 people that we had, mm-hmm. had an obligation to one another. We were part of a very special group of folks who went into battle for our people that day.
Yes, sir.
And for someone to turn coat out of that group, that hurts. I mean,
broke the faith. I was just speaking with one of our comrades a couple of days ago, sir. One of our Georgia comrades, out of respect, I'm not going to mention his name. He was in the front of the shield wall, though.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, my overriding recollection of him is watching Walt's wife try to butterfly his lacerated eyebrow back at our quarters afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I said to him? I said, Charlottesville took something from everybody who was there, some of us more than others, but it took something from everybody who was there. We have that in common. We'll have that in common until we die.
Men, well spoken. We have to go to a break. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Here's your coronavirus update from around the world. Britain is temporarily releasing about 4,000 inmates to ease crowding and slow the spread of the new coronavirus in their prisons. According to official figures, 88 inmates and 15 prison staff have tested positive for COVID-19. Italy's commissioner for the new coronavirus crisis has defended the government's response amid criticism of slow and insufficient distributions of ventilators and personal protective equipment for healthcare workers. And Serbian streets have emptied as a tightened curfew took effect as part of measures designed to curb the spread of the new coronavirus. The government extended the ban from 1 p.m. to 5 a.m. to prevent people from leaving their homes. And the U.S. Embassy in Russia says it's trying to arrange a charter flight to repatriate Americans, but warns it will be the last flight for some time. This is USA Radio News.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for healthcare. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Top leaders in Congress made it clear there'll be another coronavirus rescue package amid the stark need for federal resources to fight the pandemic and the economic crisis. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi have started to outline fresh priorities, signaling a potential thaw to the sniping and an opportunity for renewed bipartisan ground. McConnell said in an interview with the Associated Press there will absolutely be a next measure and said that health care must be at the top of the list. McConnell said Congress should focus on correcting any shortcomings in the just-passed $2.2 trillion aid bill and rely on healthcare experts for solutions to wipe out the virus. Nancy Pelosi said the next coronavirus aid bill should continue to build on the bipartisan relief bills that Congress has passed so far. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, people, we're right back, and we've got Dr. Michael Hill with the League of the South, and we also have his Chief of Operations Officer of the League of the South, Mr. Ike Baker. Before we go right back to them, I've got to make another announcement. I think this is the second time I've announced it, but you know, I want to make sure people get the news. The Faith and Freedom Conference that was going to be the April the 24th, the 25th, and the 26th up in Harrison, Arkansas, has been canceled. I know you can guess because the Kung Fu flu, the bat soup fever, you know, it's been canceled because of that. The hotels, there are no hotels there in Harrison. Pastor Rob felt that it was going to be an impossibility for people to come. If nothing, at least hardship, because there would be no bedding for them, no place to eat, sleep, etc. So I had announced that, as you well know. Dr. Hill was going to be a speaker there along with yours truly. But anyway, that has been canceled, sadly. I was really looking forward to going up there and having fellowship with all my dear brothers. Dr. Hill, we're talking about legal fair with this Heimbach. Let's talk about the law fair that you're involved in, fella. Tell us something about the tell people about, first of all, what's going on with you, the League of the South, in Charlottesville later on, I think, at the end of October and early November, and also, have there been any updates to that, that lawsuit?
Well, there has been one update. Originally, Mike Tubbs and I were supposed to be in Charlottesville in mid-April to do depositions, and that got canceled and postponed until the first week in June. But I was talking to my attorney the other day, and because of a statewide lockdown in Virginia by the Democrat governor there, announced by the Democrat governor, until June the 10th, it's probably going to be postponed again. And we don't know when we'll even be going up there to do depositions. As far as I know, the dates for the trial are still on from the 26th of October through the 13th of November of this year. That's about 3 weeks. And that's to do all roughly two dozen defendants in the case. So I'm not sure what day or days the league will be in the spotlight up there, but we'll end up, Tubbs and I'll end up having to be on the stand, I'm sure. And so we've got that ahead of us. And, you know, there really hasn't, they're still looking for stuff on us. I don't think they're having a lot of success finding anything, the plaintiff's attorneys. But they're leaving no stone unturned, for sure, which is fine with me because you know, they're not going to find anything on us that would lead to any kind of charges of, you know, any kind of conspiracy being planned you know, beforehand, which I think is what the basis of their suit. We just went up there to exercise our rights to free speech and free assembly, and had a permit. You know, I was on the speaker's list, and well, everybody knows what happened, and you know, the left has turned that story completely inside out, and, or you know, pushing lies for truth, and so you know, we'll see what happens. I wish it was going to be held somewhere other than Charlottesville, but it is what it is, and we'll be there when we're supposed to be there, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of support there in Charlottesville during the trial, and we're encouraging people to help us out if they can by donating to our legal fund. And that's pretty much where we stand with that. But if I could interject this, one conference that is still on, as at least of right now, is the 2020 League of the South National Conference, which is going to be the last weekend in June. I believe that's June the 26th and 27th. I'll have to check my calendar. But all three of us on here today will be speaking. Ike Baker and my chief of operations, and you, Eddie Miller, the host of this fine radio program. And I'll be speaking along with Dr. David Duke. And I've got an invitation out to Dr. Kevin McDonald. And there'll be others that people are familiar with. So go on our website, www.leagueofthesouth.com, and we'll be updating the conference there. So,
Yes, for Dr. Hill. Now, how's the best way? What can people do that are listening to this radio broadcast? What is the best thing they can do to help you out and Mike Tubbs and the League of the South with this abominable lawsuit going on in Charlottesville? What can they do?
Well, they can pray for us. Pray that the truth will find a way to get out to masses of people. But, you know, when you finish praying, and you know, pray for justice, pray for truth. But once you finish praying, don't let it stop there. Get up off your knees and reach in your wallet and pull out a little money to help us. I mean, you know, I was told by my attorney that the plaintiff's attorneys were probably going to end up spending somewhere around $10 million on this case. It's a big Jew law firm out of New York City. And they're well funded by, I think, a political action committee or something like that, some 501c3, whatever, that was put together to raise money just for this case. So, you know, they got a lot of big money behind them, and we're just dependent upon the donations of our people, of nationalists around the country. And some of them have been very, very generous. And some have only been able to give a little bit. But look, no amount is too small, and certainly no amount is too large. But you can go to the website again, www.leagueofthesouth.com, find my contact info, get in touch with me, and I'll tell you how to give. But we need support. I'm not ashamed to say it. We need money to fight this fight, and that's where we are right now.
Well, I could question that's a. I will do anything we can on this radio show. I know you know that. I've told you. And Ike, of course, has called me 24 hours a day. I don't take, you know, the only thing I do, I run and train almost every day. But that's the only thing I do. I don't go any vacations. I don't go to the movie. I don't do squat. I eat, breathe, and sleep this stuff. And I have a question for Ike. Ike, I know that you're a smart guy, and you're probably pretty well versed in the Constitution. In relation to what's going on in Charlottesville with Dr. Hill and Michael Tubbs, when are we going to get this right to a speedy trial? When are we going to be able to have a right to a jury of our own peers? And why, you know, I have my little rule, citizen's rule book here, but I can't go to the part of the Constitution that says you have a right to a speedy trial. You have a right to be tried in the district of the country where the supposed offense took place in that district. But why can't we move that? Where's the speedy trial, and why can't we move this venue to this trial to another venue, Ike? I mean, because I don't think we're going to...
Simply this, the judicial system is completely stacked against us. If you take a quick look at every principle within the government's case, within the government courts, and the opposition counsel, we are facing the eternal enemy, the enemy that's always been against us, always been against Christianity, Christendom, Western civilization, and the white man, and that is who we are against. Purely and simply, the judicial system is completely stacked against us. When will that change? I'm going to leave this open-ended, brother. When we change it is when it'll change. I don't know what the circumstances are that will lead to that. We've discussed on this very program, you know, men of our age, by definition, have to be accelerationists, because I know all three of us would like to participate in the Great Reset, God willing that we live to see it happen. And that's when it'll change,
when we reset the system. Sir.
You know?
That's right.
I thoroughly enjoyed listening to your speech last summer, Dr. Hill, down in Florida, when we had that constitutional scholar speak immediately before me. And then I spoke to the extent of my ability to do so about the superior founding document of this country having been the Articles of Confederation. And then you purely and simply laid it out that it's well and good to talk about the power that we're entitled to, the power that we should have. But the fact is, until we take that power, we have no opportunity to exercise that power. The way that relates to this conversation, Eddie, is we'll have the right to a trial by our own peers. We'll have the right to change to a fair and impartial venue when we bring about the circumstances that allow us to take those rights for ourselves. That's when.
Well played, sir. I would like to use one of my quotes from the old movie Dallas. When Jock Ewing was talking to the young whippersnapper, his son, J.R. was one of his sons. Bobby was the younger son. And Bobby was saying, Daddy, you gave me all this power. You gave me the power. You're here. You are interfering with my business and stuff. And Jock, I'll never admit it, he said, listen, boy, nobody gives you power. Nobody gives you real power. He said, real power, boy, you got to take. And I'll say unto you, dear sirs, that any right that we have is a right that's going to have to be taken. It's going to have to be defended. Nobody's going to give us crap unless we stand up on our hind feet and fight for it. And we got to go to a break now, doggone it. Just getting ready to get on my soapbox. People, I hear the music. Hang on to your seat. We got to go back. And we'll be right back to Dr. Michael Hill and Ike Baker in just a minute.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, we're right back. Unfortunately, this is the last segment of the second hour of Blood River Radio. That's right, you're listening to Blood River Radio. We're the only radio station I know of that we have pledged on the holy altar of God to fight against global white genocide. And what you're watching right now, this conversation you're listening to tonight with Dr. Michael Hill and Ike Baker, is you're looking at I would say collateral damage of global white genocide. If they can take people like Dr. Hill, Mike Tubbs, and Daniel Borden, And, you know, Matt, little Matt, what's his name up there? Goodwin, in putting him in prison. Matt Goodwin was 18 years old when he, Daniel. Daniel Borden was 18 years old. Matt Goodwin was 20 when they were arrested in Charlottesville for just merely defending themselves. What you're watching unfolding of genocide. That's exactly what it is. If they can put these people in prison, they're taking the same thing as killing them. If they can neuter the League of the South, patriotic, God-fearing Southern gentlemen like these guys we're talking about, they've genocided us, really, technically. You know, guys, Dr. Hill and Ike, I was talking to Sam during the break, and I know hindsight's always 20/20, but I was saying, you know, a sheriff, a constitutional sheriff that's up on his game, knows his rights, he could have come in Charlottesville, and, you know, a constitutional sheriff, my understanding, he can arrest anybody. He could put the IRS agents, he could put a federal marshal, anybody that comes in his county. He is the supreme law of the land of that county. But unfortunately, like me and Sam were talking about, we didn't appeal to the sheriff in time. And even at that even if we did, he might have been a cuck too. Who knows? If you will, Ike, if you wanted the truth, I forgot which one of you. Oh, hey, I was the one that was speaking. I forgot. I got kind of wound up. Yeah, you know, I don't want to go too overboard and get us kicked off the air. But, you know, a right, and I'm going to throw this out to you guys, a right undefended is a right lost. And ultimately, we had the guy on earlier, Mike Meharry, who was with the 10th Amendment Center. Ultimately, guys, whether or not the League of the South, Michael Tubbs and Dr. Mike Hill, whether or not they get justice in Charlottesville, in the end, is going to depend on us, the buck private, the spec four, you know, the spec five, the gunny sergeant, whether we stand up and if we say, hell no, we're not going to allow a travesty of God's law. We're not going to bow down and acquiesce to these people just trampling common law, the law of God. We have to stand up. And with that, I'll go back to you, Dr. Hill, and am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right. You know, I don't really like to speak of rights that much. I like to speak of duties. You know, we have rights, but we, more than that, have a duty. As Ike Baker mentioned earlier, your rights are not self-enforcing. You have no rights unless you have the will to enforce them yourself. And that's what we did in Charlottesville, Virginia, when we paused there in front of that mass of humanity, stinking humanity, that was blocking our way to the park. We could have stopped and turned around, and we would have been and walked away. Of course, I never would have ordered that. I would always do it the way I did it. But we enforced our own rights that day, our right to freedom of assembly. We were headed in to enforce our rights of freedom of speech and to move freely down a thoroughfare that was open for foot traffic. So when the authorities, as it were, would not enforce our rights for us, which is mostly what we depend on, is for someone else to enforce them, we were in a position where we had to enforce them for ourselves. And we did, and I would always do that because I'm a free man and I'm always going to act like one. So, you know, we had a duty to see that those rights were upheld, and that duty we carried out ourselves. And that's what free men do, and you're absolutely right about that. We're not going to get anything from our opposition except what we take from them.
Hear, hear, you know, and you talked about duties, Dr. Hill. I'll go right back to Ike in just a minute. I've been told that the great General Robert E. Lee said that duty was the most sublime word in the English language. I think that's true. You know, Ike, you know, I want to go back to you, fella. What could we do? How could we fire our fellow brethren up? How could we instill them? And how could we let them know that in Charlottesville, when the League was there and other organizations trying to just what they said that we were trying to, a lot of people said we were there to exercise our rights, but I would even go so far to say that we were actually putting on a demonstration of law and order. We were exercising law. I would say it was more of an exercising the law, a legal process, more so than even exercising rights. What do you say to that, Ike?
Everything that we did there that day, everything we did in the planning up until that day, everything we did the evening before when we did not participate in the Torchlight March because we were making preparations for the next day, everything that the league did, and by extension the Nationalist Front, because I think it's fair to say, and I think most folks who realize how it all was done would agree, the league led the way. We preached law and order to our people. We researched the weapon laws in Virginia. We relayed that information to our people. We researched self-defense laws in Virginia. We have a staff judge advocate who I happen to be personal friends with. He's a retired judge, prosecutor, and private practice and attorney here in the state where I live. He conveyed a great deal of information to me at my request in my capacity as one of Dr. Hill's officers. We shared that information with our people. We went there under a permit that had been upheld by a federal judge. Eddie, we did everything we could do to make a demonstration of law and order and a demonstration of the forces of light against the forces of darkness. Now, we prevailed that day until the excesses of government power were aligned against us. When the Virginia State Police formed a riot line and literally drove us out of that park, at that point it was game over because we weren't there in any way, shape, or form to engage in a street battle with the Virginia State Police riot squad. To even pose the idea that we would is fanciful. Who knows what the future will bring, but that day at that place, that's not why we were there. We left the park under the lawful orders of Virginia State Police, were driven right into Antifa, and I would submit that all the things that have led us to this path happened after that. The fight at the parking garage, the fights up and down Market Street, the fracas that Dr. Hill and I were involved in when we left Market Street in the other direction, everything that took place over at McIntyre Park, everything that the lawfare is being exerted, everything that the lawfare is based on, which is being exerted against us, took place after we were declared an illegal assembly and the Virginia State Police drove us out of the park. And they did that because the Charlottesville city government orchestrated a massive street fight between us and Antifa. It wasn't the Virginia State Police on Market Street watching mayhem take place. It was Charlottesville police officers. I think the paradigm shifted for a lot of people who somehow thought up until then, oh, the police will never follow illegal orders. They'll never act against us. Bull crap. They absolutely will. They did, and they'll do it again. Okay, they're agents of the state. So we actually, as far as I'm concerned, and this is open to just to discussion and argument, I think we were the sole practitioners of law and order that day.
Yeah, I agree with Ike. We did exactly what we were supposed to do, and we carried it out in a very reasonable manner. As I said, you know, we were simply trying to get to the park, and once we got driven out of the park, we were simply trying to get back to the parking garage. And there was just mass chaos because the authorities did not do their job. In fact, it's not only that they didn't do their job. They apparently had a plan, at least according to the Charlottesville police chief, to let this happen so there would be chaos and so the whole thing could be called off and a emergency could be declared and streets could be swept, as it turned out, of nationalists and not Antifa or Black Lives Matter. So it was a farce as far as law and order from the authorities go the entire day. And Ike's right. We were the only ones that were there that were upholding any kind of law and order.
Brought up a point.
Absolutely.
You mentioned something.
Guys, we're almost out of time. Guys, we're almost out of time. I'd just like to interject. I'm sure Dr. Hill remember. I was there in the room talking about law and order before we went into Charlottesville. I distinctly remember you reading us not the riot act, but you went down, enumerated the laws, what was legal, what was not legal. You even met with legal officials in Charlottesville, Ike, to kind of go over the plan, get the plans reviewed with them, okay by them. Correct me if I'm wrong. Well, we got probably 30 seconds, Ike.
Well, I'm going to parse that just a little bit. There was a lot of phone communication that took place between myself and law enforcement because Dr. Hill had appointed me liaison with law enforcement for the league and by extension for the Nationalist Front. And here's what I was going to say just one second ago. This is important. I think this is an important point. Forgive me if you may not think so. But we were the only ones swept from the streets. I had occasion to be in Charlottesville till almost 6 o'clock that evening looking for our stragglers. And from probably 2 o'clock on, there was no one on the streets of Charlottesville except Antifa, and basically our opposition. That's it. And they were everywhere, running wild. So they were the favored sons that day, and we were the redheaded stepchildren. And you know how that'll change? We'll change it, and that's the only way it'll change.
You guys have told the truth. Thank you so much, guys. I love you guys to death. Your brothers. Thank you, Dr. Hill. Thank you, Ike. We'll have you back on again. Oh, in fact, the first Saturday of every month is League of the South week. God bless you guys. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, everybody. We'll be here same time, same place next week, God willing. Good night.